So will you just stretch your hand this way and do this? Say, Father, today I desire for their gift, their authority, their grace to touch me, to equip me, to perfect me, to align me for the works of the ministry in Jesus' name. Father, we just declare blessings over them, but we declare they are a blessing to us, and we just declare that what you're doing is going to change this whole territory in Jesus' name. Healings, miracles, signs, wonders, moving of the Spirit, breaking in to traditional places. We just declare that now. And we just declare this couple blessed in Jesus' name. And everyone in agreement said amen. 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 Don't worry about her. She'll be fine. Amen.
Oh. Your chair's right ahead of you.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Well, you are the blessing that we get. Hallelujah. We are so blessed to be with God's kids and just to be on the winning team. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. Yeah, my wife, she has a backup thing. I don't know what it is, you know. When she gets whacked, she goes backwards, you know. But first time that happened, we were doing a meeting in a church, and she got whacked, and she, you know, when we started Healy River Ministries, she didn't want anything to do with it. You know, she wanted to stay home, and she sold jewelry at Ward's at the time, and in Spokane, and you know, she said, "That's your thing, not mine." And so I prayed for the team and prayed with the team about her, and I said, "God, you're not going to take me into this ministry by myself, are you? You just have to change my wife, you know." And finally, one day, she said, "Well, I guess if I'm going to work in the heater rooms, I got to quit my job." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." So that prayer worked, and went out and did a first conference, and she got whacked at that conference, and she just started a backup mode, and she backed up right down the aisle or right out the front door of the church, you know. We said somebody better go out there and get her before she goes out into the driveway, you know. So she's been in that backup mode ever since. So God moves differently on different people, I suppose. But anyway, it's just fun to see how where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. We've got to just keep that door open for people to just be free in the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you might be weird. God, I think we need some weirdos in the church. You know, because if we have some weirdos in the church, we might upset the religious spirits and they might all leave. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, that what Pastor said about the learned behavior is so really true. You know, we've developed a learned behavior of how to operate by sight in the natural realm. Now we have to learn and develop a learned behavior of how to operate by sight in the kingdom realm. See, we've got to set our eyes on the things above and learn to operate by sight in the kingdom. When you operate by sight in the natural realm, you see what man does. When you operate by sight in the kingdom realm, you see what God does. So God wants to teach us to operate by sight in both realms. But when you focus on the world and the world moves you, you lose the kingdom. When you focus on the kingdom, you move the world. See, and God wants to bring the two together. So his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. So don't let the world move you. Let the kingdom move you, and you'll walk in liberty. You'll walk in freedom, because the source of the world is falling away. The world isn't going to sustain you in the future, but the kingdom will. So don't worry about the world's condition that you're designed to change. Focus on the kingdom of God and the provision that the kingdom has for you, and you'll never run out, because the kingdom is without end. Because you're in the world, but you're not of it. You're of another realm. So where you set your mind will determine whether you have victory or failure. When you set your mind on the things above, you'll live in victory. Because all things are possible to you because you believe. When you set your mind on the world, you'll operate in failure. Because you'll see what doesn't work. But when you focus on the kingdom, you'll see what does work. And don't look for a future kingdom. Look for the kingdom that's already inside of you. And that kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom is inside of you. All of heaven is available to you. There's nothing left for God to give you. Because he's already given you everything he has. The fullness of the kingdom inside of you is bigger than the world around you. See, you've got to approach the things of God with the mind of Christ, not your own physical mind. When you try to think of the things of the kingdom and understand them with the natural mind that doesn't have the ability to process kingdom thinking, it will not make sense, because what happens, then it's impossible to you. But when you use the mind of Christ, when you use the spirit mind, why should you operate with the mind of Christ? He's your head, you're his body. You have access to the Father by the Spirit. Does the Word not say that? Your access is in the realm of the Spirit to go right to the Father, so that when your will matches his will can be done in your life. See, heaven's under pressure. All you got to do is open a valve, it'll flow. You and I are the only limitations that heaven has. When we become unlimited, then heaven can move on earth. When there's a matching of the wills, when your will matches his will, then heaven flows down to you. So develop a learned behavior of how to live and move and have your being in the realm of the Spirit. Because the Bible says that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. See, you need to know the world and everything in it. Your spirit, your mind, and your body are all Spirit. See, who told you that your body is not Spirit? If God created the world and everything in it, then everything in the world that he created come from the Spirit, did it not? So therefore, everything that is created of a spirit is spirit. It only got out of spirit when man sinned against God and there was a separation. What God is trying to do, that's why his kingdom is to come on earth as it is in heaven. We don't need heaven on earth. We need the kingdom on earth just like it is in heaven. That you would be healed, restored, that we would have revival, and that you and I would be the source of heaven to begin to restore the earth. But when you walk and operate by sight in the natural realm, you see what isn't working. When what isn't working moves you, you lose the kingdom. When the kingdom moves you, you realize you're destined to move and change in the world what isn't right. That's why you're commissioned to bring the kingdom here as it is there. Don't let the election or anything else move you. Don't let it create trauma. Realize that God is in you for one reason, that you live and move and have your being in him. He's in you so that all things are possible to you when you believe. Therefore, it doesn't matter what you see, because you're not designed to walk by sight in the natural realm. You're designed to walk by sight in the realm of the Spirit so that you can change the natural realm. So when something's out of order over here, you've got something that's in order over here that you need to put on this here so it will be restored when the kingdom comes in it on earth as it is in heaven. You're designed to become a move of God on the earth. Without God, you cannot. Without you, he will not. You and I need to realize we are the legal access for heaven to arrive on earth. This program isn't up to God. If it was up to God, it would have already been taken care of by now. It's up to you and I. See, the enemy will measure you by how you see yourself. When you walk by sight in the natural realm, and what isn't right moves you, and you buy into it. It's what the enemy is doing to mess up and distort the world. And the goal of the enemy is that you get something he has in you, then he has a legal right to jerk you around. Because the Bible says you have the armor of God that extinguishes all the fiery darts of the enemy. But when we open the door and the darts get in us, then the enemy says, I have something of myself in you, therefore I have a legal right to jerk you around. Because you have the armor of God, you're bulletproof. The enemy will measure you by how you see yourself. God wants you to be so filled with light that no darkness can come in you, that you have the armor of light in and on you, that you become an untouchable, because greater is he that's in you than he that's coming against you. We have to operate in such a way that we have a full-time God and we won't need a devil. Anybody in the house need a devil? Raise your hand. He's under your feet. That's why he's defeated. Too many people in the church are having a hard time recognizing their enemy because he's become too familiar. Stop focusing on what the devil does and start focusing on what God does, and you'll have the power to overcome everything the enemy is doing. Because a good attitude will give you a good latitude in the kingdom of God. Because the truth is, no weapon formed against you can prosper when you know it. It's what you know that will determine where you go as a kingdom person. Do not be moved, do not be worried about what's going on in the world today. I read the last chapter. We win. You win if you believe it. How many believe you're a winner? I've been into the enemy's camp and I've spied it out. And I have only one confession. Little devil, big God. Instead of looking at the world and saying, oh, those people are possessed of the devil, it's time that the world looks at us and says, those people are possessed by their God. After all, who's on first here? God didn't create the world and all of the fullness of it for the devil and his crew. He created it for you and I, did he not? And we're on the winning team. When you focus on the world, you could say, well, it doesn't look good. And when what doesn't look good is moving you, you're out of the kingdom. That's why Jesus said, don't walk by sight, but walk by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and you'll begin to change what you see that isn't working. Because you've got resurrection power residing in you. The Holy Spirit is not in you because he was homeless. He wants to occupy you and take over. And the way that you can overcome your enemy is simply by being overcome by God. Don't face your enemy. Stop walking by sight, because that's what you do when you face your enemy. What you face is what you embrace. Turn your back on your enemy and face your God. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God and resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. You don't have to face an enemy who's supposed to be on the run. So God wants us to have a learned behavior of how to operate in the kingdom on a full-time basis. Because you're spirit-filled. And when you receive the Holy Spirit and the Spirit comes in you, you receive what?
Power.
Say it out loud.
Power.
Yeah. See, the fact that the devil has to tempt you is an indication that you carry all of the
power.
If he had the power, he wouldn't have to tempt you. It amazes me and how many believers buy into the temptation from the enemy. Because they don't know the authority and the power of the Spirit of God that's inside of them and the kingdom that is residing in them. That is the power and the authority to change everything that's out of order, because that's what you're commissioned to do. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. He's looking to be employed and directed into every situation. He's in you for the fulfillment of the truth of God, or to make the Word of God creative on the earth through you as the vessel of God. Because he wants to change your mind. He wants to blow your mind to get at your spirit. We've got to stop trying to use our limited mind that doesn't have the ability to understand the things of the Spirit, but have the mind of Christ. Because the carnal mind can't do that. It's not even able to accept the things of the Spirit. But with the mind of Christ, we think spiritually. We operate from another realm. We become spirit people. We're no longer dependent on what the world has. We're dependent upon what God has. And when you depend on what God has, you move in reality. Who said reality is in what you see? Reality is in the God who created what you see. You see, God says you have before you how you focus. You have death. You have life. We've been so dyslexic, he had to give us a suggestion of which one to choose. Hey, choose life. It'll work better. Hello. But yet we walk by sight and we choose death. The mindset on the flesh that walks by sight will walk and operate in death or failure. But the mindset on the Spirit will have life and peace. It will live in kingdom authority. It will live in the reality of God and heaven that created the world and everything in it. You're mighty in God to tearing down strongholds. See yourself the way God sees you. He doesn't see a believer sick. He doesn't see a believer in poverty. He sees a believer through the blood of Jesus. He sees you perfect. And he wants you to see yourself that way. He wants you to have an attitude. We need to get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, hey, there's a mighty warrior designed by God to destroy the work of the enemy. And Holy Spirit, where are we going today? What are we doing today? Because we're a warrior. You know, we spend a lot of time getting messed up. We might have to spend a little time getting fixed up. But don't worry about it. You know, when I went to Bethel Church for 25 years, I was a real estate developer. On and off of the board, a very religious man. I used to wear a tie before I was delivered. And I thought for 25 years God was coming to fix me. And then revival coming, it finally dawned on me, He's not coming to fix me, He's coming to kill me. Because He said, if it's not you that lives, one of us is going to die. And I figured that wasn't going to be God. As a matter of fact, He said, when your life is over, mine can take over. See, you weren't born again to have a life. Got some awful quiet in here. You're born again to have His life. And when you have His life, you live victoriously. Then it doesn't matter what the enemy does, because you no longer walk by sight. Because you've got another realm that you operate in. And that realm is driven by the love of the Father who sent Jesus to the cross to pour out His blood and to redeem you from the curse. And no longer are you subject to the curse. You no longer live under the curse, because now you're living in another realm. You're a warrior. You're mighty in God. You tear down strongholds. You're not worried about what the devil does, because the devil's under your feet. You no longer pay attention to him, because you have a full-time God, and nothing out of the enemy's camp can move you anymore, because you know Jesus said, don't walk by sight or you'll be trapped. You'll see what the devil's doing, and then what the devil's doing will begin to move you into what he wants you to believe. You're designed to move as a kingdom person, because the kingdom of God is within you. Everything available to heaven is already deposited inside of you. There's nothing left for God to do. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't say, it's just starting. I think he said, it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. You were not called to come to church and sit in a pew and take a beating from the devil the rest of your life. Why should you take a beating from the devil when he's under your feet, when you have authority over all of his power, when no weapon formed against you can prosper? God wants to change your mind. He wants to cause you to stop focusing on the world and the world's order of things and start focusing on the kingdom and the kingdom order of things. Because you're a victorious bride. Because you're going to arise and shine. Darkness is covering the earth, but there's an arising coming of a kingdom army of warriors who are bred to fight, who are going to take back what the enemy has stolen. An army that's designed by God who will appeal to heaven, because that's where they live. An army that's already won. You don't battle for victory, you battle from victory. Because the enemy wants you to believe he's going to win. When you focus on the world, when you focus on the natural things, you'll have a belief system that lines up with what the enemy is doing to overcome the world and to take it. But when you focus on the kingdom of God, you'll know that it's finished, that you've already won. And the devil doesn't want you to know you're a winner. In the world, you're a winner when you cross the finish line. In the kingdom, you're a winner when you enter the race. You're in the army now. Hallelujah. You're not to sit in a pew. If you sit in a pew too long, you'll know why it's called a pew. You're a warrior. You come to church. When you come to church, there should be a sucking sound out there, where you suck everything out in the revelation out of Pastor Clay. Because you're hungry. Because you're coming to church to have an encounter of God that doesn't change your moment. An encounter that changes your whole life. I said at the conference, I think, in this hour, there's too many saved people in the church. Oh, what did you just say? Jesus' goal wasn't come to, he didn't come just to save you. You're not to live at the cross of Jesus. You're to be raised and seated in heavenly places and to live in the life of Jesus. The cross is a place where you die. You see, I thought for 25 years God was going to fix me. Well, he said, I didn't want to fix you because I didn't want you to be the way you were. So often we want God to come and fix us. Hallelujah. We've got everything we need. I think he's going to, you know, we might come to the point where he's going to say, fix yourself. Fix yourself. How can I fix myself? I've got resurrection power. I've got all the authority of heaven and earth. I'm the body of Jesus. He's my head. He's my head so I can see what's in heaven and bring it onto earth. You see, the Word of God is the will of God, but the will of God is greater than the Word of God. This is just His will for earth. We haven't even yet seen His will for heaven. The author is greater than what he writes. Hello. That's why the book is expandable. That's why it's creative. That's why it's living and active. That's why it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not living and active in a book. It's living and active in a believer. He said the book creates faith, and faith comes by hearing. I don't hear nothing. It comes by hearing when you eat the word, that none of your steps will slide. When you get truth in you, and that truth sets you free. And that truth is released by the Holy Spirit, who's your teacher, who will lead you into some truth, all truth. He will give you revelation. He will show you that you're on the winning team. He will anoint you to be powerful in God, to live above the enemy and what the enemy is doing, to live in the realm of the spirit, because you're a spirit person living in a body. That's why you're a new creation. That's why old things pass away. That's why new things are available to you, and those new things are the things of God. You are a new creation. And I believe God wants to get us ready for what's coming on the earth in this end time season, a victorious army. Because we're in a season of acceleration where nations are going to be impacted. Because my God tells me His glory is going to cover the whole earth. The kingdom message will be preached into every nation. There's a great awakening beginning to come over the earth. It's already started. And we have to get ready for it. We have to prepare ourselves for it. We have to be positional. Because a solid position will change your condition. And I believe that you should not just get healed, but you should get healed and stay that way. We should have an attitude that says, I am going to get healed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to wear the armor of God, and no weapon of sickness coming against me is going to prosper. The word that we read has to become the word that we live. If Jesus redeemed us from the curse, why on earth are you and I living under any measure of the curse we've been redeemed from? It's got to grieve the heart of Jesus to know that His body is bearing the sickness He already bore for it. Have you thought about that? You see, I can say these things because I'm leaving town. Because I want to encourage, as an apostolic father, sons and daughters to move out of that orphan spirit. Because when you focus on the world, you focus on the world, because that's what religion does. Religion walks by sight in order to see that nothing changes. But Revelation walks by the Spirit to see that change is constantly taking place. And I want to encourage the bride of Christ to ready herself, to take off the grave clothes, to put on the wedding gown, and to walk in the Spirit of God, to move in the fullness of Him who fills all in all, not some in some. Because you've got what it takes to live an overcoming, winning life. You're designed to change paradigms. And we're coming to that place where the Word of God will come out of your mouth and it will be alive, and you will speak into the natural realm, and your voice will be the sound of God's will when you operate in His kingdom, and you speak into the natural realm, and things begin to happen. Things begin to change because you change atmospheres. Because in the world, there's atmospheric pressure. But in the kingdom, there's no atmospheric pressure. You're in charge of the atmosphere. And I believe prophetic intercessors are going to begin to rise up and speak the will of God. The same Word of God that created the world and everything in it is now in a book. And now He's going to put it into a believer. And that believer's voice will become the sound of God's will into the natural realm. And atmospheres will change. They will prophesy over cities and put a net over a city, and the enemy shall not prevail under that net any longer. Those prophetic intercessors, I call them air traffic controllers, controlling the airway with Yahweh. Hallelujah. Changing the atmosphere. Taking back what the enemy has stolen. Who don't care what the devil does. Because they don't have time for the enemy who's under their feet. And they're constantly releasing restoration into people's lives and restoring the body of Christ and healing the body and raising the dead and doing supernatural things. Because I'll guarantee you, God is not worried one bit about what's taking place down here. He's not going to allow what man does to change the will of God. His will constantly be fulfilled on the earth. He's going to have the last word. But I end up hearing believers, well, I don't know if it's God's will for me. I don't know if He's going to do this or do that. You know, God is not a doer. God doesn't have to do something. He's a creator. When you do, He creates. You're the doer, not Him. He's done everything He's going to do. When Jesus said it's finished, that means it's done. It's done. And He's waiting for you and I to rise up into that fullness of the authority that He has given us. You know, you can't walk on water sitting in a boat. You got to get out and become a supernatural being, because that's how you're designed. Because the things of heaven are given to you. We've got to learn and develop a new learned behavior of how to be a spirit person. To be led by the Holy Spirit and driven by the Holy Spirit. And not allow any issue or any problem to move us. But to move those issues and problems. I don't care how bad it looks. I've had situations where it looked impossible for me. And God says, yes, with you it is. But with me, all things are possible. And He says, you don't know what I'm about to do. Stop walking by sight. Stop looking at the problem. Because the more you look at the problem, the bigger it gets. Have you noticed that? He says, start looking at the kingdom, and the more you look at the kingdom, the bigger it gets. Big God, little devil. You see, you're born by the Spirit to live victoriously. To have all that God has provided for you, all that Jesus purchased for you. He didn't pay for your sickness so that you would pay for it. If Jesus bore your sickness, he wants to ask you and I a question. What are we doing with it? I even go so far as to say this. Wouldn't the fact that the body of Christ is bearing the sickness he already bore for it not be a denial of the cross? Somebody said, you can't say that. You'll make the sick feel bad. I think they feel bad enough. Hello? You see, notice, sympathy brings agreement. It locks them in. Compassion brings deliverance and takes them out. Jesus was never moved by sympathy. He was moved by the compassion of deliverance. Because he knew that if you knew the truth, if you were familiar with the truth, and he said, I am the truth, the life, the way. Be familiar with the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because the truth is your head. But you're the body of truth. You need to see yourself, I am a body of truth. And I live free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I'm liberated. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how the world looks. It doesn't matter my condition. Because I'm taking up a new position in the kingdom of God. And my condition is about to change. Because I've got a truth, and that truth creates a faith, and that faith is the substance of what I'm looking for. It's the evidence of what I'm looking for. And when I walk by faith, I'm constantly processing heaven on earth, and everything out of order is coming in order, because I am designed to be a transformational person. I'm designed to change the world. I've been called to change the world. Hallelujah. Not to look at the problem, because I've got the answer. I've got the answer. And that answer is Jesus, who is my truth. And nothing formed against me can prosper, because I don't receive it. I don't believe it, because what I believe in is truth. And that truth has set me free. It's inside of me. There's a kingdom residing inside of me. And that kingdom gives all that heaven has, all that God created, all that Jesus purchased on the cross is inside of me. And it's driven by the love of a father for sons and daughters. When you focus on the world, you become religious and you become an orphan. And religious people and that religious spirit causes orphans in the church. And the orphan is the slave or the servant. And the servant's reward is only based on what they do, not what the king does. God wants to move us out of an orphan spirit into the spirit of adoption. Over here, you're adopted. You're a son and a daughter of the King, and you have an inheritance that he wants to release into you, and you walk in that inheritance, and what the King has is available to you because you're sons and daughters. There's a number of people in the house this morning. And you've carried an orphan spirit in the natural realm because you've never had a father in your life. You've never had a father figure, a father who said, son, daughter, I bless you. And because of that, even though you're in the kingdom, you're having a hard time relating to your heavenly father because you've been so injured and you've been so hurt by your earthly father. We took a trip to London, England. I'll never forget this trip. During the ministry time, a lady came up to me in her early 30s. She's an East Indian lady. And during the ministry time, I went to minister to her, and I said, what do you need? A deep voice came out of her mouth. And she said, I need healing and deliverance. I went to touch her forehead. Her eyes went back in her head. Her head went back. A deep voice came out of her mouth. And she went over on the floor. And I had the usher get her up, and I began to talk to her. And I said, there's something majorly wrong in your life. And she began to share a story with me. She said, as a little girl being raised up, she said, I had a father, but he was a gambler. And every weekend he had men over to the house to gamble. And every weekend the winner got me. And she said, I'd never known the love of a father. She said, I would never even let a man touch me. She said, I'm married, but my husband's not even allowed to touch me. And I said, Holy Spirit, what is it that I could say to this dear lady that would touch her heart? He said, to tell her that I would send a man across an ocean just for her. And when I did that, a tear came into the corner of her eye as we embraced. And I said, I'm going to give you a father's blessing. And the father's blessing came to this dear lady for the first time in her life. An entire lifetime of darkness left this dear lady as the love of the Father came into her life for the first time. And she was able to relate to her Heavenly Father after that. I'll never forget the next night doing ministry, and she was walking alongside of me and rubbing on my back. I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, would you be my daddy? I said, yeah, I'll be your daddy. You see, I've got sons and daughters all over the world, some of them older than me. I don't know how that works, but I like it. And this morning, there's some folks in here, and you've never had a father who said, son, daughter, I bless you. And you've carried that emptiness of not having a father's blessing. And if that's you, I'd like to have you stand up this morning. If you're here and you've carried that, and it's been an emptiness in your life, because when you haven't had a father, an earthly father that blessed you, there's something inside of us that doesn't allow our Heavenly Father to truly touch our heart to the full extent that He needs to. Because we haven't had the earthly blessing, we don't know completely how to receive the heavenly blessing. And it keeps us held down into that orphan spirit, and we feel like we weren't worthy of a natural father's love, and therefore we're not worthy completely of a heavenly father's love. And somehow we think, well, God hasn't chosen to love me, but we didn't realize that He doesn't have to choose to love you, because He is love, and He loves you dearly, and He will never reject you. So I want you guys to come up and just kind of line up in the front, and Michelle and I are going to pray over you. And we're going to release the Father's blessing to you, because you carried that burden. Some of you have been without the blessing of a father and didn't even know a father in your life. And others of you, there was a father in the house, but he really wasn't a father, because he never came to you and released a daddy's blessing. So this morning, you're going to receive the blessing that you deserve, and you'll be completely moved out of that orphan spirit into the spirit of adoption, because he wants you to know he doesn't he doesn't have to choose to love you. He is love. And that he created you. He created you. And he's your father, and he loves you. And you don't have to earn it. All you have to do is receive it. And it was that great love that sent his son to the cross to pay the price that we should have paid for the sin that we've had in our life. But Jesus carried it all. And your Heavenly Father wants you to experience that love this morning. So, Father, let us receive the blessing of the Father's love in Jesus' name.